Hey, Lauren.
Hey, welcome to another Edge Got In. And you know, it's amazing to me. God calls us here to practice what he's teaching through our lives. So I definitely feel very strongly and I'm grateful for the topic for today. For all of you that are joining us today, welcome to Edge Got In. Perhaps it's your first time. Perhaps you just grabbed this podcast randomly. We encourage you to explore the other podcasts. There's lots of different topics on many, many different shiny objects and things that spin us out of that peace that God calls us into that passes all human understanding. So our mission here at Edge Got In is basically to empower your potential, your human potential, spirit, mind, emotions, and body, and championing your identity in Christ so that you really do embrace your heritage, that we are a chosen people. A holy nation, a people belonging to God, so that we can throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run and not grow weary and walk and not faint. So thank you for joining us today. And this is a topic that comes from definitely personal practice over the last couple of weeks.
I think it's an ongoing practice for everyone.
Oh my gosh.
This is a world is surrounded in this at this point.
Yes, this is definitely something that the Lord placed heavily on my heart a couple of weeks ago to really step into calling us together to do a negativity detox in our lives. And so to break these steps down, it's important so that we can have effective four action steps along with the vision. What do we want? And are you dissatisfied with the situation enough? Perhaps you're not. Perhaps it'll take a little bit more negativity around you and in your life. Perhaps it'll take waiting till your body responds to make that shift. Either way, perhaps you'll grab one or two things today that will plant seeds to increase your curiosity. How can I add and delete those elements in my life that are creating a negative space and replace it with positivity where Christ dwells and reigns within my emotions and my thoughts? So today is a negativity detox, step one. Dear Lord, we give you permission to override our negative thinking in all things. Grant us the grace to cleanse out our thought life from all that is ignoble and unclean. Grant us the grace to have eagle eye vision, truly that eagle eye vision, to be able to tune into all that has a contaminating and corrupting influence in our lives, so that we can, by your grace alone, remove all of the negativity and corruption from our mind and our thought life. Set us apart to be used for noble and honorable purposes. We want our heart consecrated to yours so that we are equipped and ready for every good work that you call us to. That negativity can bump us really quickly. So here we go. The focus of this study is pretty, very, actually very, very timely topic. We always talk about in journalism a newsworthy and timely topic. This is a newsworthy and timely topic.
It's interesting that they haven't talked about that on the news.
Isn't that interesting?
Hello. We hear a lot of negativity, but we don't talk about what the Bible says about negativity and how to route it, right? We want to route that negativity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is our focus today, and there's going to be a second part of this, perhaps a third part, depending on what the Holy Spirit wants to do with this study. And really, this is a topic that we find ourselves surrounded with negativity all the time. Let's face it. We cannot give out to the world what we don't take time to master within. So really raising our curiosity around, I want to do a negativity detox in my life. And I've got some high noticing that I want to expand to see what are the negative elements that I'm allowing into the interior castle, those tenants that I'm giving free rent to that are trashing my interior world. And I need assistance. This is serious stuff. It's like when I was training for my second degree black belt, I thought, I got one black belt. The second degree black belt, it's probably not going to be as hard. Literally was harder than all of the belts up to my black belt combined to go from the one degree to the second degree. This requires assistance and training. from the Holy Spirit. This is this is the place, this is battleground between our mind, between our two ears. And the Holy Spirit is an essential partner in this so that we can take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And as 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, it's a worthy verse of memorization. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. This is the battlefield, truly is. And it requires that sense of alertness on our part and willingness. You know, it's interesting. Dan, there's a great formula for change. It's Dan Miller's formula for change that I use a lot with my executive clients. And basically, if resistance to change, if resistance to, is greater than three main components: dissatisfaction with the situation, having a clear vision, what do you want, why do you want it, how will you know that you get it, and specific forward action steps. And strong leadership, actually. I threw in the fifth one, which sometimes is left off, meant. But dissatisfaction with the situation, having a clear vision, forward action step, as well as leadership. You're listening to this call to just have some mentorship, a facilitation, of an invitation to this. If that is not, all those components are not at play, then resistance will win. Mm-hmm. Then you will lean back into the negative thinking. So it's becoming a very awake participant in this clearing out of the negativity. One of the things that we have going on for us in our favor is the mirror neurons. And in my opinion, I feel like the mirror neurons are really just only discovered in the last, I think, decade or so, that it's a biological wake-up call that reveals the true essence, like the main element a point of entry of negativity in our thought life. And it ignites our emotional state of being. If the thought doesn't occur, the emotion won't appear. The negative emotion won't appear. It can't if the thought is not there. Or if the thought is neutral, the emotion won't happen. And emotion is just your body's your thought life. The mirror neurons basically fire in the sender of the information and the receiver. So anger evokes anger. Love evokes love. We've talked about this before, and this is important to know the power that we have in our biology that God has given us. Perhaps that's why rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. We have the ability to do that, the compassionate, empathetic wiring to do that, or not. Mirror neurons also work in the other way, in the other direction. Anger evokes anger. And so whatever you're experiencing emotionally actually triggers that same emotion in the people that you're around. You are the gatekeeper here. God biologically wired us to be able to empathize on a deeper level, biologically speaking. So what was meant for good can be flipped to evil very quickly when we allow the emotions of envy, strife, bitterness, judgment to live under the roof of our minds. You know, this is a powerful space.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that we forget as Christians is the choices we have to make decisions. God gave us a choice. You know, He gives us choices to choose, and we have this free will to make those choices. You know, in Malachi, He talks about, "I love you," says the Lord. "How have you loved us?" You know, and He talks about how you can maintain dissolution and appointment cause conflict. He talked about in Exodus, you know, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, proclaim the Lord before you, but you have to make these choices. You have to show compassion. You know, He talks about it in Corinthians. There's choices that we make that He's given us the free will to make those choices. And what happens with negativity is sometimes, and many times, we make the choice to live in that, you know, the choice to use God's word to get out of it. And I think that's a real problem.
It is, because we gravitate toward what's familiar. We actually have messaging systems in our brain. And if you have some messaging systems that have been fueled by thoughts that have been fired enough to ignite those messaging systems of negativity, then that's our set point. There'll be the resistance. There will be that resistance to change, because who would I be if I'm not in the loop? And I might miss out if I don't participate in the drama. There's all those those little voices that Satan will use to keep you stuck in that space below the line of the envy, strife, bitterness, and judgment that occurs, that we're surrounded by. So, as mentioned, Holy Spirit is a key component here. The strength of the Holy Spirit through you is the only way to be able to fully master that negativity inside, and to call upon that strength of the Holy Spirit in your interior castle to help you master this space and detox your mind from those evicting tenants that thrive on negativity. And it is a thriving, because it becomes a biological thing, an addictive thing. Because when those neurons fire and ignite that negativity messaging system that you've created by enough negativity in your life, it actually will release an excitement chemical within the brain. So it actually excites the brain. So we actually get addicted to the excitement of negativity.
And you can see that. It's so funny you say that, because in Proverbs 17:14, it says the beginning of strife is like letting out water. So quit before the quarrel breaks out. And we start strife right away. The gossip that we do is, we quarrel within the church. And when it comes when I say church, I don't mean in the brick and mortar. I'm saying we quarrel with each other, we start gossiping, we need to watch that. And he also talks about it in Ephesians 5:20. He says, giving thanks always for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to give thanks to him for everything. We need to talk to him about, okay, Lord, I'm going through this strife. I'm going through this gospel. I'm giving you thanks, Lord. Take this away from me. He talks about in Philippians 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, what is pure, what is lovely, that's what we should focus on. It's just God talks about negativity and how it's going to be a part of us. Yes, those neurons, biologically, we're wired that way, but we always have to go to the source of how we're supposed to act with the way we're wired.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That goes hand in hand, because then we can override and rewire.
Yes.
We can rewire.
Rewire, reboot. We're computers, yep. Right? Reboot
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
We are, no computer, every computer has a operator.
Mm-hmm. The human operating system.
Yeah, operating system. So we have to go to that ourselves and reboot and say, okay, you know what? This has got to stop. I'm headed in the wrong direction. I'm not headed the way God wants me to do. I'm headed down the wrong path.
So we really do. I think that point that you made in terms of the fact that we do have this choice, it's like the first step in a negativity detox is simply our high noticing on what is going on inside my brain. Mm-hmm. What am I giving free rent to? And a good question to ask yourself at the end of the day is, what percentage of my mind was consumed with negative thoughts? Mm-hmm. Whether it's judgment, accusation, shame, conflict, confusion, overwhelm, fear, doubt, worry, you name it. What percentage with all that group together occupied your interior capital? Because you're the landlord with Christ. Christ is sitting on the throne in our inner castle ultimately, and has given us free choice. So we bite a lot of apples throughout our day. Mm-hmm. And it casts us away from that fellowship that we long for. So mm-hmm. it's a matter of beginning again as quickly as possible to be able to draw near to God as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I think it's that mindful thinking. That mindful. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we're not aware of how many times we bite into that apple in mm-hmm. the course of a day. We have all this negativity coming mm-hmm. to us. We
become desensitized.
Yes, we do. Exactly. Perfect. We could become desensitized. We also react to it. When someone says something, we're fast to react and say, oh yeah, that is true. She or he or mm-hmm. it, instead of sitting back and saying, I love WWJI. What would Jesus do?
Or yeah.
What would Jesus do? It's like, you have to kind of sit back and say, this is not what I want to get involved in. I had a really good friend that really was really good at deflecting. Actually, it's my sister, very good at deflecting negativity. And she would, she would face it right on. You know, she heard it and she walk away, or she would not, you know, and sometimes we don't want to hurt people's. I think sometimes I don't want to hurt people's feelings when they say something, and I want to be there sometimes and help them.
Not them feel awkward, and also fear of that you would cause them to feel awkward if you.
Yes. Yes. Instead Absolutely. Of, because, but have you noticed that when you do deflect it, people don't want to hear that because they're so busy down that neuron path to negativity. Mm-hmm. They want comfort in it. They want support in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And so it becomes like misery loves company. Negativity loves those little serpents, man. Mm-hmm. They will literally gather their friends, and it starts out as a party of one. You let one negative thought in, and reminds me of my 16th birthday when I promised I only had 12 people coming in, 300 people showed up. Okay. So it's like
how popular.
Yeah, exactly. No, that wasn't a popularity thing. That was a bad choice thing. That was my BC days, my before Christ.
Oh, okay. I'm like, dang, 300.
Christ got a hold of me. I don't think I know 300 people. I had a lot of BC days, which is why I did youth ministry for so many years. So it's give back time. Oh, so, God. You know, but it's like one negative thought. You just literally glance it, and I remember I had a situation recently where someone said something pretty that really bumped me inside, and instantly my old pattern of behavior is to fight. I will come back pretty quickly with something, and I literally heard the voice of Jesus say, "Do not," literally slowly and clearly, "Do not pick that hot coal that just came out of that person's mouth. Do not pick that up.
And Lord,
that will become yours. That will become yours, and it will burn you."
And I remember, it's very hard to do.
Oh, it is.
Because what happens is, you know, it's all about the stress when they say it to you. We're in that fight and flight.
It's hurtful.
We want to fight right away because we're so used as human beings defending ourselves. You know, we're animals. Right, we're defending ourselves. We're defending our kids.
Because that's our identity. That's become our identity.
That's become our identity.
It's the
only way you can be like you were is to have God in your heart. Mm-hmm. God's going to make you think differently. You're going to think, well, you know, instead of that person that has a child running around and not being disciplined, and you look at them and say, "Oh my God, look at them! Can't they control their kids?" You might say, "I wonder what he's going through. Maybe he." Has something happen in his life that he's not focused on his kid right now. You know, so it's
kind of compassion. Replacing judgment with compassion.
Instead of judgment, not judgmental, exactly.
Generous assumptions.
Yes. And you did that with, you had that coal, you didn't have that coal because you knew what would happen. Mm-hmm. You also knew yourself, but you also knew that this would lead you down that path of destruction. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I got to tell you, I tried to pick it up a couple times. So it kept coming back because Satan's the great accuser. He's the great accuser. And he'll say, "What they said to you is true." Yes. You know, and so he'll want you to pick it up and get all worked up because like that's why we're told in 2 Timothy, step away from strife, all strife. Yes. And arguing and foolish controversies and arguments that are destructive. That's that are drama. It's the drama in this you know, that's surrounding us, and we're losing our identity in the drama rather than praying for the grace. Dear God, desensitize me from my desensitization to negativity that surrounds me in my own life so that I can become aware of my own personal judgments. And this is the phase one. I can't give out to other people unless I'm managing well what's going on in my own thought life. If I'm casting stones and judging and all of that, there's no way that I'm going to be very vulnerable to the judgments of other people. I'll jump on their bandwagon because these serpents, they gather friends really fast. It goes from 1 to 12 to 12 to 300 in 125 thousandths of a second. Those little neurons move fast.
They totally do. We've got to protect ourselves from that.
Yeah. And one of the things I feel like in this, there's a lot of very powerful scriptures in here from Romans 12:1, be transformed. How are we transformed? We've talked about this in other Bible studies. Mm-hmm. Renewing of the mind, What is that? 2 Timothy 1:7, having a sense of self-control over negative rumination, so that we're equipped with a spirit of power, love, and self-control. We reclaim. So this is an invitation, you guys, and I'm speaking to myself with this. This is really, really an invitation to reclaim our identity in Christ. Yeah. Yes. Now more than ever in our society, because we have lost ourselves in the drama and negativity, so much so that we literally don't have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to respond quickly to the whispers of God.
Well, you know, what we've done is we have conformed to the patterns of the world. He talks about it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're using worldly ways to attack evil and negativity instead of using godly ways. And the only way we're going to use godly ways is to keep it renewing the mind.
Absolutely.
I always talk about that in mindfulness. Yeah, everyone says empty the mind, but you want to renew it, and you want with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He says, fill
your... You don't want to empty it, because Jesus spoke about that.
No.
And that little serpent ran out and got a bunch of his buddies and came back and possessed the dude even worse.
Well, look at it. It started with Eve, right?
Yeah.
She listened to the serpent.
Yep.
She listened to him because she emptied her mind. She was too busy in paradise, not happy, not content. Instead of ignoring her mind, listening to Jesus more and God.
You know, God's word. Filling our minds with God's word, meditating on God's word.
You know, don't copy behavior in this world. We copy behavior. Mm-hmm.
We mimic. We literally mimic the behavior, and it's literally, it's so subtle. And I'm telling you guys, we got to raise our awareness to the subtleness of Satan, because he will literally slip in that back door, and he will twist something that is good, right, beautiful, and excellent, praiseworthy. He can't create anything because he's not a creator. So he takes what is good. He met Eve in the garden of goodness. He takes what is good and he twists it in 125 thousandths of a second. Yes. And literally will throw it back in our face and whisper a lie. Anytime, know this, and maybe this is your one takeaway from today. Mm-hmm. Know this, that anytime that you hear a voice of accusation, anytime that you hear a voice of accusation that creates a sense of heavy-heartedness within you, that oppresses you as a Christian, know that that is not the voice of God. Right. It is a voice of the accuser, the great accuser. He is the great twister. He falsifies information very quickly, makes the false seem right and true. And he'll take what is beautiful and disguise what is evil and make it look as beautiful, and make something that is below the line as right, and something that is false, good and true. And so he's the great deceiver, the great deceiver.
Great deceiver. And you know, the thing about it is, I think that what we have trouble is, and we'll probably have a Bible study on this next time, is what steps do we take to renew the mind? How do we renew the mind? Because renewing the mind, I can say that all day, but I don't know how to do it. How do I ask the Lord to guard and direct my thoughts? How do I have sources of help that help keep me self-focused and have self-thoughts? How do I focus on God and use in his mindset?
Mm-hmm.
How do I?
What does that look? What does that look like? Feel like? Sound like? Yeah. Let's do that for the next one. So we're doing this in phases as the Holy Spirit guides us. But I think that since we're before we move on into the exterior world, and we're pretty much following the same phase as we're teaching as our recent study on the emotional intelligence, there's four phases of emotional intelligence. Now we're just putting that into practice because it starts with our self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are. The awareness of our emotions in terms of negativity, in this negativity detox, it is essential, because we can't flip what we don't shine the light of our presence on, because then we're just passengers on the negativity bus. We're just literally passengers on the negativity bus, from one event to the next.
And we need to work on that. And as Lauren was saying, you know, we have to meditate upon which is good, which is true, which is beautiful, which is excellent, just like Philippians says.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we into this.
And it's important to reflect on our goal, because part of that formula for change, dissatisfaction with the situation. So let's say you're in this space. I'm in this space. I invite you to really come before the Lord. Lord, where am I toxic in my negativity inside my thought life? Get to that point of dissatisfaction, like to the point where you're like, I'm not playing this game anymore.
No.
I want to be an agent of positivity everywhere I go, including inside my castle first and foremost, and then bring that positivity and love wherever I go. Having a vision of what that looks like and then the forward action steps, being able to take that into a positive space. But in order to have forward action steps, it's important to meditate on the vision. What do we want? What we want, really, what we're looking for here, guys, is Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16. Mm-hmm. We want to be a city set on a hill.
Yes.
We want to literally let our light shine so much before men, so much so before men that they stop. They stop in their tracks and say, "What is that?" And perhaps it'll stir up a strife, and we remain calm. We're able to take every thought and make it captive to Christ. We're able to remember that the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me, because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We got to know what we want. So Matthew 5, 14 through 16 gives us that vision and reminds us we're the light of the world, people. Yeah. Yeah. Literally.
And you know what? If you and I have been blessed to meet those type of people that are the light of the world, that their focus is on the goal. See, we forget why we're here.
Mm-hmm. And then we rise and fall depending on what's going on in the world outside of us.
We forget that we're here. And I had someone, call me on this past week, and it was just revelation. I know it, but I was called on it. And I thought, I guess about 3 weeks ago, that one lady who was a school teacher won the lottery. And I said, God, I wish I could win the lottery so I can do all the things I want to do for myself.
Oh, I've had that same prayer, sister.
Friends. Yeah. And I could, give back to the homeless. And, I would give back to the church. And then and said, but you don't understand. That's not what you're here for. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow. He is exactly right. I'm not here to win the lottery. I have the lottery. I have eternal life. I have salvation. I have the lottery. I'm here to bless other people, to stop negativity, to be like a Mother Teresa, to be like any other great leader.
To carry the torch and lift high the flame and march through the dark in the light of his name.
And bring people to the kingdom. Mm. And so it was such a revelation of knowledge. I said, you know what? I'm going to stop saying that. I mean, yes, it would be nice to have all the things, but after things are over, what do you have? Mm-hmm. What's really important? You know, so it's just revelation knowledge. It brought me back to, how can I serve? How can I be that light? Mm-hmm. What's important to me? Not these flashy, shiny objects that I keep running back to.
You know, I'll tell that story with one similar to that. When I was caught up in, sometime we'll tell the story of Edge Got In, but we were talking about being caught up in the fame game, right? And just mm-hmm. going for the big stage and the big lights and to be seen, acknowledged, recognized, and all that kind of stuff, right? And God literally spoke to me very, very clearly about this one time. When I was distracted by this in my life, and Jesus, as gentle as and firm as he is, as I was kind of ruminating on something that I wanted and really, really wanted. And Jesus said, excuse me, literally just as polite as he is. I was just like Gollum in the cave, holding onto my precious. And he just out of the darkness, he pierced his light to my heart and said, excuse me. Excuse me. Took a couple times and finally I stopped. I'm like, what? he said, just so you know, you're not here to be popular. You're not here to be liked. Mm-mm. You're here to witness my love to the ends of the world. You are here to love. That is your purpose. And to go, just as the wind blows the leaves and blows the snowflakes, there's no resistance.
And it gives you more peace. It gives you more peace not to fight that battle, because I totally believe that God puts us here for a reason. We all have a purpose. And those people that have reached what we think is fame, that's their mm-hmm. purpose. But who knows if that's the greatest fame? We don't mm-hmm. know. I've had people that I've been blessed enough. One of the biggest blessings in my life, besides my family, was someone one time coming to me and saying, if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have had self-esteem. And I'll tell that story another time. But when he came and told me that, I thought, oh my God, I had no idea that what words spoken out of my mouth gave me something and change their life. Mm. You know, so there's things that we do that we're unconscious of that's in God's plan that's bigger than being on a stage.
Mm. Oh, there's no doubt, sister. It's like there's no doubt with that. When the Lord brought that to my mind, I literally fell to my knees. I'm like, take it all. Yes. Take it all. Mm-hmm. And I'm still in that place every day. Take it all. Anything yes. that you've done through Praise me, God. Or anything you will do through me, you just take it all. Just put me in a project that's your blessing for your glory. That's all I want. Yeah. And because I know that that's the greatest peace, that will lead to the greatest peace.
So how are we going to identify and integrate this? How are we going to do this, Lauren?
There's a couple different things here. And you'll see on the study guide, there's some questions to ask yourself that go along with Matthew 5:14-16. We encourage you to really take some time mm-hmm. and ask yourself those questions. One of them is, how much time do I spend meditating on what's beautiful mm-hmm. in God's eyes? And then, what is your basket that dims your light? Yes. What specific negative thoughts keep you from putting your light on a lampstand for all to see? And what will it take to remove the basket? Mm-hmm. What needs to be pruned for you to shine even yes. more? And what are the shiny objects that draw you away from your calling to be a light mm-hmm. in this world? And then what specific negative thoughts do you want to detox? Perhaps it's a message that keeps coming up that you want to detox from your life that can help you shine before men. So identifying and integrating here, really, again, this first step is an invitation into metacognition, thinking about thinking. Become aware. Take every thought captive. Mm-hmm. Every thought captive. Be the observer of your thought life. This is a practicum this week. Really, really watch your thinking. Be aware, because those little serpents, man, they just slither in and they do not evacuate without a fight. Once you become aware of them, they'll start even throwing more trash. More head trash your way. So messages will pop out as you're trying to evict. They'll be like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, they'll start throwing things in your mind. Like, you might miss out on something. That's the fear of missing out is a huge thing that causes people to be stuck in negativity and social media. They did a study on that, that it's the fear of missing out. So I've got to contribute so that I know that my voice is heard in that way. So what kind of voice do you want to be heard in the midst of all that is a good question to ask. But watch out for those, the tail enders that will kick back into your life.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. And one of the things I know, and there's this Hinesburg two-factor theory of what motivates us.
Love that.
Change. And I think this is really good. You know, the hygiene force, is it our environment? You know, is it our relation with others, or are the quality of where we are, you know, our environmental factors are, or is it our motivational factors? Is it achievement or personal growth is causing us to want to change? And I think being able to understand what it is that affects our change mm-hmm. and what motivates us really can lead us to a change in this direction. Mm-hmm. You just have to really understand that God's satisfaction is a motivator, you know, mm-hmm. that, you know, the nature of what his work is for us, you know, and it's what's important. And the absence of not having his word, which is his motivator, affects our satisfaction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, just clarity of focus leads to accuracy of response. Mm-hmm. So being able to understand first and foremost, what specifically about detoxing your life from negativity has high value for you. Mm-hmm. And that's something to really, really, really contemplate. What specifically about detoxing your life, mm-hmm. your mind, this is the first step in your mind. Mm-hmm. What specifically about detoxing your mind from negativity? Mm-hmm. Has high value for you. Mm-hmm. And to write that down as a mission statement, a mini mission statement for your reason to even give this time and attention in your life. Because the more that we have that intrinsic attachment of value, the more likely we are to be able to really stand firm and yes. to make some shifts, some positive shifts in our lives. So mm-hmm. first and foremost, beware that those little serpents don't, you know, go down easy. So it's going to take that sense of help from the Holy Spirit. Declare and proclaim. Use your words to declare and proclaim against negativity. Mm-hmm. I was just doing this downstairs earlier this morning, and my husband said, "Who are you talking to?" And I said, "I'm rebuking the devil." Mm-hmm. I said, I am literally in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, binding, rebuking, and casting out a negative mantra that's going on in my life right now. Mm-hmm. And so to rather than lean into it and to feed that messaging system that will excite your brain and give you a little hit of empowerment, I'm overriding it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
You have to rebuke it. You have to rebuke it. And don't care what people think. Your husband and wife might think you're a little bit crazy at the moment, but I get on fire when I get to start rebuking things.
I do too.
You know, he wants us to do. It's power. You know, it's power in rebuking. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And so really take some time to look through this study guide, because there's some suggestions as well in terms of some different kind of blocks that might prevent you from releasing that negativity that can help you move through that in the study guide. So one of the sabotaging thoughts that a lot of people that I work with, that I coach, that comes up quite a bit is basically, if I hold back my best, then at least I can fall back on the fact that I didn't give it my all. So this is, Satan wants to edit us. He wants to water us down. He wants to edit and water down the gifts that God has given us in this world. Mm-hmm. God calls us to shake off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, including the sin of self-destruction. Yeah. Of forgetting our worth and our values. So to be able to step into all that God has called you into and reclaim your identity in Christ. No. I am a holy priesthood. Mm-hmm. I'm part of a holy priesthood, a holy nation. Jesus has called me by name out of darkness. He died to win me over from darkness to light. And I claim that as my identity in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I choose to live all out. To go for whatever God calls me to 100% and only have one attachment, my heart to Christ. Mm-hmm. Because in that attachment, then my best is always enough in Christ. And I can have freedom to go for what I want. So there's lots of different aspects to this. So one of the most powerful things that we can integrate is verses, to be able to think on what is good, right, true, beautiful, excellent, and praiseworthy. There are two in the study guide offered for you to explore that are pretty powerful. So let's kind of sum this up. What are we doing here with maintaining? Keeping it simple, we're stepping into metacognition. You're increasing, you're writing your mission statement. This isn't on the study guide. This is just in the podcast. You're writing a mission statement. It's very important with the formula for change to have a clear vision. Write down a mission statement that captures your vision. Why do you want, what are the positive benefits, the value, and you committing your time and your higher noticing and awareness and committing to this practice? Of detoxing your thoughts.
And you know, one of the things I will say when it comes to that, many times a mission statement, this mission statement should include your relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because many times we try
absolutely
to ourselves, and that mission, we can't write a mission statement without our team.
Absolutely.
Our team, right?
Absolutely. So our A team.
Yes. So we need to make sure when we write this mission statement, it is a mission statement that we are inclusive of Jesus Christ. And that way we know how to, that way our goal is set. Mm-hmm. Right? If, you know, a mission statement is of no value if you don't have someone there supporting it, right?
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
We want to support that mission statement, and we have him there.
So. Absolutely. Thank you for that clarity. Very, very essential to be able to include Jesus in your mission statement and the value of detoxing your life. Understanding the value that it will bring to you. What is the upside?
Yes.
To attach yourself to the bigger purpose. And practice this week 3-1. 3-1. There's a 3-1 practice out there. It's been around for quite a while. And it's based in science that with every negative thought, to override a negative thought, it's essential that we respond with 3 positive thoughts. That's how powerful the negative neuron is that fires. To override one negative thought with 3 positive thoughts. So to override them, what I really encourage people to do, what I encourage you guys to do is memorize scripture or carry scripture cards with you. Get some scripture cards. Go to Amazon. Get some scripture cards. Have them in your pocket or a little book that will be able to, you can look some scriptures up right away to declare over your life. Mm-hmm. Either way, the word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword and pierces heart, soul, marrow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Literally transforms us from the inside out. Right. So,
and by doing that, you're embedding it in your heart, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely.
And you'll be able to use it like Lauren was saying earlier, and I was as well, about rebuking the demon. Well, you after you rebuke him in Jesus' name, you're going to use a scripture that you have in your heart to do that. Mm-hmm. You use that, you have it embedded in your heart.
Which goes along with what you said earlier. We don't just want to empty our mind. It's not about emptying our mind. It's about detoxing the negativity and filling it up with the Holy Spirit. What is good, right? True, beautiful, excellent, praiseworthy. Mm-hmm. So practice that 3-to-1. There's some directions and some guidance with that in the study guide to override that. But again, it's overriding any one negative thought with three powerful positive declarations in Christ over that. So speak life, as that song says, speak life into the negativity and reclaim your freedom in Christ, Galatians 5:1. And then again, along with that was memorizing another call. There's three steps, memorizing two verses from today's study. Just choose two verses. There's a lot of verses that are in this study. Whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, whoever separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, will be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, Amen. Consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. Mm. So our journey begins into the negativity detox. Dear God, help us to root out internal strife from our lives. Make us a light of positivity in this world. We give you permission. We cannot do this on our own. In fact, carry us into this experience to detox our thought life. Help us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We bind, rebuke, and cast out those thoughts that fuel stupid and foolish arguments, Amen. Quarrels against others and ourselves. How can we offer kindness to the world, Lord, if we're constantly beating ourselves up in our head? Help us speak kind and supportive words to ourselves with a gentle and loving intonation as you speak to us. We know we cannot give out where we don't take time to expand within our own soul. So we invite you in, Holy Spirit. Transform us. We rededicate our lives to you today. Mm-hmm. Help us to begin anew. It makes sense to us that the most powerful place to start is in this negativity detox in our lives. Help us to use an intonation that reflects your kindness of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And help us to linger, to be quick to linger in those positive affirmation, affirming statements that are fueled by your presence, by your whispers. Mm-hmm. So help calm that voice, that negative chatter within, so that we can hear your voice piercing the darkness. We want to feel what it feels like to live out, to run and not grow weary, walk and not faint, and run in the space of Romans 12:1, to be completely transformed by the renewing of our mind, deeply refreshed and focused on what is good, right, true, beautiful, excellent, and praiseworthy. Detox our thought life, Father God, through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. In Jesus' name, from all negativity from our life. Amen.
Amen. Oh, God, it's beautiful.
Thank you for joining us today, guys, and we will continue this journey, and we are with you on this, so join us in a negativity detox movement to edge that out of our lives and edge God in.
And always go to our Bible study or the and you'll see where our podcasts are on our site at edgegodin.com, and our podcasts are available on iTunes and Google Play. So thank you, guys.
Thanks for joining us, guys. God's favor.